This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
This is Robin Roberts, and the Michael K. Show starts right now. Take it away, Michael, Don, and Peter.
Hi, Robin, and a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on this Tuesday.
Yeah.
It's November 30th, 2021. Last day of November. Amazing. Michael K., Peter Rosenberg, Don LaGreca. Peter Rosenberg, Don LaGreca, Michael K.
November
Don
got
LaGreca,
out light,
Michael
man.
K., Peter Rosenberg. We're all apart, but we're together for the next 4 hours. The other 20, that's your responsibility. How you all doing?
Nah, I've been better.
Why? What's wrong, babe?
It's, you remember the Seinfeld where Kramer fell asleep in the hot tub when the power went out?
Yeah.
And his, like, core temperature was just, like, a mess? Mm-hmm. That's me, because we lost heat in the middle of the night.
Oh,
last
night.
No. It's like Nancy wakes me up, but, like, you know, it's like it's freezing. It's, like, 4 o'clock in the morning, and we're shivering, and then we just had to bundle up the kids. But Anthony's Plumbing came by. They're great. They're big fans of the show. Fixed everything up.
Love
one
Anthony.
One little tiny piece is all it takes. To freeze you. So all day I haven't been. I'm trying to get back to.
That's what usually fixes things.
Oh,
just one little tiny piece.
Sure.
It's usually not a big piece. It's a little tiny piece.
Right. You should know, Peter.
No. Never heard
wow.
that before. You're the two espousing.
Mr. I wear my sunglasses at night.
Yeah. Well, yeah. A lot of people are wondering on social media. What are you? Who are you? Why are you?
Yeah. Hashtag tool.
Didn't I put in the caption what was going on?
I don't know. I
unless you had a severe case of dripping pussy pink eye,
right.
There's no reason to wear sunglasses.
Wait. So just gross bloodshot eye is not enough? Like just blood in the eye?
No, because wearing those sunglasses at the Washington football team game in a luxury box made you look like a toolbox.
Listen, I had to tell everyone why I was wearing it. I didn't just act as if this was normal or okay behavior.
Right.
But it
you
was a little
uncomfortable. Just a monocle.
But that monocle wouldn't cover my eye. It
would
have to be an
eye patch. Bad eye. On the one bad eye, you put a sunglass monocle on.
Oh, a sunglass monocle.
Yes.
Never heard of that before.
Unlike
yeah, that,
the
that
Monopoly
wouldn't be toolish
man.
At all.
No, that would have been good. I'll tell you what, though. What a great, great, glorious night that was.
Yeah, good football, too.
Did you enjoy
it?
I was out.
Wait, listen, I've been saying this forever. Bad baseball, bad hockey, bad basketball, unwatchable. But something about bad football is just captivating to me.
I'm sorry, was I watching a different game? Were we that bad, or you mean Seattle being that bad?
I don't think – listen, it wasn't a – listen, Seattle's a mess, okay? It's time to just embrace the madness, all right? It's over there, all right? They're done. They're cooked. They're 3-8, and they deserve to be. And you took advantage of it. Good for you.
Good for
but you.
You
know, I enjoyed it. It was a good defensive game for Washington. But I looked at it more as
the end of
just
Seattle.
A mess.
Well, no, listen. The only reason I think Michael's a toolbox in this case is that while it was a messy football game and Seattle's definitely not a good football team to say the least, Don, that last 5 minutes was thrilling.
No, it was great. I mean, it was great from the blocked extra point, which was would have been a turning point had Seattle been any good. And then explain to me how this, and I'm not just going to pick on Washington. It's everybody. Like, you saw that drive coming from Seattle. They can't move the ball. They, like, broke a record for consecutive punts and then go on a 97-yard drive in, like, a minute and a half and could have tied the game. Like, how does that happen? How does the 2-minute drill become something that's impossible to defend now?
And why don't people run it all the time? People run it should run it all the time. I've said Daniel Jones is better in a 2-minute drill.
You're so right.
I know.
And the way it was explained to me a long time ago when I covered the Jets before I came to this station. And I asked Vinny Testaverde about it. You know, why don't you just run it all the time? And they said it's exhausting. There's just so many moving parts because the way you got to get in the plays and the substitutions, it's very difficult to do it for an entire, you know, 60-minute game. Well, you could do it for the 2 minutes. You practice for the 2 minutes. But you know what? I'm sorry. These guys are intelligent enough. They're doing all kinds of crazy things to begin with. Play it. Don't ever huddle. It's going to be more taxing on the defense. And, yeah, there might be mistakes and all that, but in the grand scheme of things, you almost can't defend it.
It is amazing.
You can't change personnel.
It's amazing, if you think about it, that right now, if the season were to end, the Giants would have the fourth and fifth pick in the draft, or the Jets would have the fourth and fifth picks, and the Giants would have the sixth and seventh picks. So four picks in a row will be New York picks. Anyway, we'll get into that a little later on. We're glad that Peter could actually, you know, get into the field of dreams of his dreams of the Washington.
I mean, it's not.
Football.
Listen, the field is still not of dreams, but it was a great.
But think about it real quick. His favorite football team wins. He sleeps in the bed of his youth. Like, he was probably taken back to when he was 15 years old. Like, the last time they were good.
Well,
wait, Peter. Let me ask you a question, though. This is very personal, and it's more important than the football game. Did you sleep in the bed of your youth?
No.
Oh.
Where did you sleep?
We slept in the guest room downstairs.
And Natalie was with you?
Correct.
Under the roof of your mother and father?
Correct.
Interesting.
Oh, this is so exciting.
What's the matter with you? You should go right to the childhood bed. It would be like the dream come true for McAnimal House when the Playboy Bunny comes, like, flying through the bedroom window. Like, you were probably dreaming at like 13, 14 years old that you would be with like a stunning woman that you're in a relationship with.
Well, listen.
You could have went back into a time machine last night.
Well, hold on.
Washington's good. They're actually out of the basement. They win a big game in prime time.
It would be like
1992 all over again.
You're going full Kaster now, Don, and thinking like I had to turn that then into a sexual conquest. Instead of, you know, the real life human, the real feels of it all, if we want to be
real
totally
feels.
Honest,
yeah.
The real feels, like the real feel temperature, is that, you know, hasn't always been the easiest time the last couple of years for me. And my relationship ended, and there was a lot of Washington football tied into that relationship. A lot of bad football and terrible moments, by the way. So now here I am in a new great relationship, really happy and fulfilled with this new partner. And then to get the thrilling victory, it was like starting anew. And now Michael says the only way I'm sure to do that would then be to consummate it in the parking lot. But that's not where my mind went.
Good, I was just happy.
So
in your childhood home, it was Mike and Mindy that were rocking, not you. Okay, I'll play along.
Right, in the bath fit.
Right, in the bath fit or tub. Splashing, but no kind of floods or anything like that, because the bath fitter is so tightly done. It's great.
Yeah. It's a tight fit.
The Mets didn't sign anybody in the last couple of hours, so that's
Jockey.
Amazing.
Oh, what a fraud. Steve Cohen, such a fraud.
But I will tell you this. I've taken a real close look at all the signings, right? And the Mets had a high payroll last year, by the way. You can't say Steve Cohen was cheap last year. His payroll was $195. And that was a big jump from when the Wilpons had it. But look at the teams that did the signings, right? Tigers, a bad team. The Texas Rangers, a bad team. Now Toronto has made some signings. They just missed the playoffs last year. But if you look at the war that they lost last year with Simeon and Robbie Ray, they haven't made up that war by bringing in Gausman. They still have to replace Simeon, who had like a war of close to seven. So that's seven wins that you're taking off your team. So they had to sign Gausman. If you just look at the teams right now, the big teams, the teams that usually spend money, they're not doing it. The Dodgers, nothing. I mean, you can't say Andrew Heaney is a big expenditure. They're not doing it. The Red Sox haven't done it, and the Yankees haven't done it. Now, all that matters to the people that are listening to the show are the Yankees. And, boy, if you read social media, people are losing their mind. Now, this might be a case of Captain Literal Man, but I think it's okay to put on the cape and go there. One thing that really, it kind of like makes me wonder what people think. I've seen at least hundreds of tweets, and I'm sure you have as well, Don, as you monitor this. Oh, the Yankees are asleep! Oh, yeah, this is all taking them by surprise. They've actually snoozed through it. They never thought the market would be this, and they've just been caught sleeping. They didn't know. Oh, my goodness, look at all these people signing. We're not ready. Maybe they don't want to sign these people. Maybe they don't want to give Corey Seager an average contract of $32.5 million for 10 years. Maybe they don't want to. Maybe they don't want to give Marcus Semien a 7-year deal at $25 million a year. Maybe they don't want to do it. Maybe they have other plans. You know, David Cone does a podcast with the John Boy group. And Towing the Slab, I think it's called. And he said everybody has to be very patient. He thinks that the Yankees are going to make their moves via trade. Trades take longer to breathe. Mm-hmm. The Yankees, I don't think, and it has nothing to do with being cheap, I don't think, they just look at it and go, it's not worth it giving up a 10-year deal to Corey Seager when most people in baseball don't think that he's going to be able to play shortstop for more than 3 years. So then you got to move him over to third. Javi Baez, you know what? Of all the signings, Javi Baez, to me, Don and Peter, looks like the most reasonable. It's 6 years, 140, so it's, what, $22 million a year? I thought Javi Baez would get more than that. You can't tell me that Corey Seager is all that much better than Javi Baez. Now, the ones that are left standing without a chair are Trevor Story and Carlos Correa. So now the rumor mill, again, it's all people in front of their keyboards thinking that they have all these sources. Well, that it's perfect now. Correa is there for the Yankees. Well, don't you think Correa is a better player overall than Corey Seager? Now, I don't know if he's going to get more money than Corey Seager because, again, your dance partners have evaporated. So who exactly wants Carlos Correa at 10 years, $335 million? I don't know. Is he going to be left without a dance partner? Is he going to wait until after the sport is locked down? But to say the Yankees are sleeping, they're sleeping. They've made a cognizant decision. They don't want to play in this level of water right now. And I'm going to tell you another thing. Other than the Met signings, right? Mark my words. The Texas Rangers are going to be trying to divest themselves of those contracts within 3 years. They're going to be trading those guys at pennies on the dollar, Semien and Seager. You watch. That's what happened when they signed Alex Rodriguez, too. And we had Chris Carlin on at the end of the show yesterday. When you spend all this money and you don't have enough pitching, then you're just – they had 60 wins last year, Don. So all this money they spent, over $500 million, what does it get them to 70? They're going to end up divesting themselves of those contracts.
Maybe. We thought the same thing with Machado in San Diego, and that hasn't been the case there.
That still might happen.
All right. It still could happen, but they've also become relevant over the last few years. A disappointing season last year, but he put the Padres on the map, and they seem to be run – better than Texas. They have pitching. They've spent money elsewhere. It hasn't been the only player they've invested in. And maybe it will go bad for Texas. But it doesn't mean that it would go bad for the Yankees. Right? You saw Mookie Betts hasn't gone bad for the Dodgers. If he had signed with Texas, maybe it would have gone bad. Like, there's some organizations that are black holes. They just can't get it right. Seattle, the same thing. So, let's see. A good organization, a well-run organization, can make it work. Poor organizations who think they can buy their way out of their problems are the ones that are trying to get rid of players pennies on the dollar five years later because it's not working out.
But here's the deal, though, Don. The Dodgers are never going to have to sell Mookie Betts on pennies on the dollar because they can afford it, even if Mookie Betts goes south, and he's not going to. You're asking the Texas Rangers that don't have the same revenue stream as the big market teams, although they're not bad. They have a brand-new ballpark.
Yeah, and it's a big market.
To have that kind of payroll and win 70 games, because right now, unless they do something otherworldly that we're not expecting, they're a 72-win team.
Right.
What's that going to get you?
Let me ask you this, because anybody that's saying the Yankees are asleep at the switch, all of a sudden Brian Cashman goes, oh, my God, I can't believe I waited too long to call Seager's agent. Oh, my – no, it's not incompetence. It's strategic. But does a Yankee fan – have the right to be upset with the strategy and say, wait a minute, this team prints money in the Bronx. They make more money than any other team in baseball. They got their own television network. They got a beautiful, you know, new stadium, tremendous revenue stream. Why are they pinching pennies? Why are they being fiscally responsible? Now, the answer is, hey, they still have a payroll over $200 million. They're not cheap by any stretch, but they clearly are fiscally responsible, Michael. Their payroll is not what it was 10 years ago, even 20 years ago. So is a Yankee fan sitting there watching the show or listening to the show, do they have the right to at least complain about the strategy?
They have the right that, you know, these guys are there for the taking just for money. And, you know, if we make trades, we're going to give up young prospects. I get it. I understand it completely. but they're choosing not to go that route. And I don't think it's because they're cheap. I just think because they don't think that is worth the money, that those players are not worth the money at that length. I mean, you have to be responsible in terms of what you think is the right move for your organization.
Right.
And if they were cutting payroll like to 150, I guess, and there's another theme that's going around on social media that 10 years ago, or, you know, the Yankee payroll was $205 million, and they're and again, I'm rounding up, their revenue was $300 million. Now it's $210, and their revenue is $653 million. Well, but they don't really spend according to their revenue. They do look at that salary tax as a competitive disadvantage if you continue to go over it. I'm not making excuses for them. Obviously, Hal Steinbrenner and his family made a decision. We're not going to $300 million. We're not doing what Steve Cohen did. And you know why Steve Cohen did it? Because he has to make his team relevant, and it's the right thing for Steve Cohen to do. Hal Steinbrenner thinking, there's going to be seven teams in the playoffs next year. And once you get in the playoffs, he's got an analytic front office that tells him anything could happen in the playoffs. The Yankees are probably getting in the playoffs next year. If there's seven teams that get in per league, he's probably thinking, I'll take my chances in the playoffs rather than go to $300 million. I don't need to spend all that money.
Right.
Now, in 2009, when he spent all that money, Don, they didn't make the playoffs the year before. So he spent all that money and won a world championship.
No, I understand that. And in the last couple of years, they've been a wild card team and eliminated early. So it's kind of in the same situation. Michael, the problem with this conversation is that you come across like you're defending. You're just giving the strategy.
I'm just explaining
it.
I'm not defending anybody. I'll say what I said yesterday. I'll let you finish your point. I'll say what I said yesterday. If they go into next year with this team, colossal, epic fail for the offseason. You can't. You can't run it back with this team. This team's not good enough. But to sit here and just excoriate them before you see the finished product, maybe they go out and they make a trade for Matt Olson. Maybe they make a trade for a center fielder that you really, really like. How do you know what they're going to do? It's only November 30th. Just because they haven't spent money in a money orgy doesn't mean that they're not going to improve their team.
Isn't this what we have to expect now, guys? Isn't this exactly what we knew would start happening with Steve Cohen in town? It's going to up the ante for the Yankees. It just will, whether it's fair or not, because now fans have something directly to see on the front pages and back pages of their papers going, look, they're doing it right, when they don't realize the Mets are trying to catch up to where the Yankees are.
Right, and so are the Tigers, and the Blue Jays are trying to replace what they lost, and Seattle's trying to take the next step. So those teams were in a position where they had to do it.
Right.
And Texas as well. And the Mets don't have the prospects the Yankees do, so the trade route was not something the Mets could do. And the clock is ticking on free agency. So all these things are logical. All I'm trying to do is play the role of fan, Michael, who says, all right, that's the strategy. Has it worked? And it hasn't worked to the level, because you have Brian Cashman coming on saying, I'm about winning championships, not a championship. And yet there could possibly be, Michael, even if the Yankees make a deal, three teams that are better than them in the division. So you can make the case that this strategy has not worked. You go back to the last free agent frenzy where they said to you, we're not interested in Harper. We've got too many outfielders. Well, you didn't have too many outfielders. Otherwise, you wouldn't have Brett Gardner playing as much as you did because Hicks has been hurt. So that's what a fan's saying, Michael, is I pay the highest ticket prices. I've got my cable with the YES Network, and it costs a lot to be a Yankee fan. And the great thing about that was that the Yankees always spent the most money. And now they're not. And that's okay if you're winning, but if you're not winning, I can understand the fans saying there, well, why are we being out? Why is this strategy to let's have a slow burn, let's use our prospects, as logical as it may be? And I kind of agree with it because they've got tons of prospects. They don't have any place to play. So you got to trade them. But I can understand a fan saying, this is the richest team in the world. They print money, and yet all these free agents are walking by, and they say, we don't need them.
Well, I mean, let's put it this way. They've tried the other thing, too. They gave Gerrit Cole a record-setting contract. That didn't do it. Last year, every Yankee fan in the world wanted them to bring back DJ LeMahieu. They did. 6 years. Much too long for a player of that age at $90 million. That didn't work. So it's not like they've been cheap. They have spent on what they wanted to spend. They got the best pitcher in baseball when he was a free agent. They don't feel that they want to spend $43 million on Max Scherzer. And it shows you how the world changes right now. Because Giancarlo Stanton has 6 years left on his contract. And I think in those 6 years, the Yankees pay him, after the offset from what the Marlins gave in the deal, the Yankees pay him $24 million a year. Is Giancarlo Stanton a better offensive force than Corey Seager? He's making $8 million less per year. That contract is now undervalued. So everything comes around. Here's what I would tell everybody. Yankee fans have a right to be angry at whatever they want to be angry about. I can't talk them off a ledge, but I will tell you the sleeping thing is so dumb and so ill-informed. They're sleeping as if this took them by surprise. The Red Sox, Dodgers, and Yankees, the three biggest teams, have not done anything of significance. Anything. Does that tell you anything? And those are considered three of the smarter teams in baseball. Does that tell you anything? It's teams that are desperate that spent the money. The Mariners are desperate. They have the longest time without making the playoffs, I think, in professional sports. The last time they made the playoffs was 2001. The Texas Rangers are dreadful. Yeah. The Detroit Tigers are trying to climb back into relevancy. The Mets, they have a new owner who's desperate to win, and they haven't made the playoffs. So he rightfully spent all that money. The Yankees, the Dodgers, and the Red Sox go, hey, we made the playoffs last year.
Okay, but question for you. If you're a Yankee fan and you were told by Brian Cashman that this team needed a shortstop,
right,
and you're seeing people move, the big money guys move, and you're, where are you going? Where are they going to go? And if you're a Yankee fan and you're scared you're not going to get anyone, what is the fix for that? Is that a reasonable fear?
It's a fear, but what they might do this year, and I think a good organization just doesn't plan for that year, okay? So let's say they crack and they sign Correa to this contract. Well, you've now plugged up shortstop for 10 years. And even if you move him to third base in 5 years, all right, you've plugged up shortstops for half a decade. When your two best prospects, the number one prospect for the Yankees in baseball is Anthony Volpe, who they consider he'll probably be ready in 2023 for the big leagues. You've blocked him then. You've made him a non-entity. He's your number one draft pick, a kid from New Jersey. Do you want to completely eliminate him as a possibility? Maybe they think he's going to be great. Maybe they think he's going to be the next Derek Jeter. Because remember, the last time the Yankees had a dynasty, they actually were patient. They were patient. Now, I know what people are going to come back with. Well, what happened to the last run of prospects? Gary Sanchez has been a bust. He has. I agree. Luis Severino's been hurt. I agree. I get it. Gleyber Torres is not what we expect him to be. I understand it. But if you like your prospects and you have individually and internally scouted yourself and you think Volpe or Peraza are going to be great starting shortstops, why would you lock into a shortstop for a $350 million contract?
I'm getting a ton of tweets, but one that I think sums it up for all the ones that I've gotten is from Junior Brown. He says, wake up, Don LaGreca, Michael Kay. Yankee fans are nervous because no one believes in the strategy anymore, and certainly not the strategist. So if this is all about just hating on Brian Cashman, then you are going to hate him anyway.
Right.
Because if you don't trust him, then why would you trust him to sign free agents? Right, if you hate Brian Cashman, and I think there's a lot of hate for Brian right now from the Yankee fan base, that you're upset with his strategy. Well, let's say he changed his strategy and decided to sign these players. Well, if you don't trust Brian Cashman, why would you trust that he'd sign the right guy? So no matter what Brian Cashman does at this point, other than getting fired, you're not going to be satisfied with anything.
If the Yankees signed Trevor Story tomorrow, right, and that was their plan all along, and I'm not saying it is, people say, well, Cashman's wrong. That was the worst of the five shortstops were available. And if they sign Carlos Correa, they'll go, how could they sign Carlos Correa? He cheated, and he said something really bad about Derek Jeter. There's no win. So you know what? The Yankees do the right thing. They plow along. They have a plan. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. And if you don't like it, you don't like it.
Well, no perfect example of that. They're talking about them being cheap and not signing free agents. They gave Gerrit Cole the richest contract ever at the time, and they hated the fact that they did it now because they haven't won the championship in the 2 years he's been here. So you're going to hate on the Yankees until they win that championship. And, oh, by the way, when they do win the championship, you're going to want another one. So there is a little spoiled brat to it. But at the same time, Michael, I empathize with them a bit because what is the strategy right now has not worked.
See, but Peter has said it the best, okay? The reason why this is so much of a thing right now, across the street, that owner's spending like a drunken sailor, and yours isn't. So it's stark in contrast. If Steve Cohen wasn't doing what Steve Cohen was doing, then you would not be that alarmed, even if Detroit and Seattle and Texas are spending all that money. But because the Mets have dropped all that money, you feel like you're being left behind. The team that made the playoffs is the team that has a little bit of breathing room. Now, whether or not you said, well, a one-game playoff is not, it is the playoffs, by the way, and they should be aiming for higher because that's the Yankee way. But can't we just wait to see what the finished product is? You want to go crazy on November 30th? I can't stop you from doing that. And if you have it in your mind that they're cheap, I can't stop you from thinking that as well. When you're looking at, you know, the revenue that they make, but they are also dealing with other factors, okay? They're dealing with other factors. They look at the salary threshold, and that's why the union wants to get rid of it as a real constraint. They don't want to lose draft picks. They don't want to lose international signing money. They don't want to do that. And they look at their farm system. They've got Volpe. They've got Peraza. They've got the Marcin Dominguez. They've got players they think are going to really help them. So they don't want to spend that kind of money and lock up positions that can be taken by other players. Bottom line, whether you like it or not, I'm trying to explain it. I am not advocating for it. I'm trying to explain it.
But just waste your breath, Michael, because they're not going to be convinced.
No, I can see.
Because they've already made their decision. This team has not won a championship since 2009. They've pinpointed their crosshairs right on Brian Cashman. Hey, I even said it too. I mean, Brian Cashman has to be called on the carpet for where this team is right now. He was talking about championships, and we haven't been able to win a division. How many divisions have they won since 2009? So I can understand them being nervous about the strategy. But if you don't like the strategist, well, then no matter what he does, you're going to hate it. And you are not going to have an answer until next October.
Let's take a brief timeout. The Yankees also have some key decisions to make today, and we'll talk about those. 1-800-919-3776. The K Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. Off to a rollicking start right here on the show. Yep. Kay, LaGreca, Rosenberg, Peter in his old house right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so if you've listened to this show over the last 20 years, you know how I feel for the most part about the NCAA. I loved the crying and the angst from all the college basketball coaches about, you know, the transfer portal, that anybody could leave without suffering any kind of loss of year or anything like that. You know, we'll throw our program into shambles. You know, if you don't treat a kid the right way, he's just going to leave. If you don't start him, you're never going to be able to develop. Nonsense. Is it the optimum thing for college sports? Of course not. But isn't it a perfect antidote to what coaches do? Lincoln Riley just up and left Oklahoma and goes to USC because he was offered a huge amount of money. Still under contract, but all the contracts mean nothing because they also have escape clauses. Brian Kelly has been at ND for 12 years. And talk about the noxious atmosphere around college coaches. He was actually on a recruiting trip visiting kids' kitchens and living rooms for Notre Dame when he was in the middle of negotiating a $95 million 10-year deal with LSU. And to make matters even more odious, think about this. Notre Dame has a chance to be one of the four teams that will play for the national championship. And he left. And Oklahoma still had an outside chance, although losing to Oklahoma State didn't help. And he left. So whenever anybody gets their panties in a bunch when a team is not playing for a national championship, but they play in some Fugazi Massengill Bowl, okay? And the kid decides, you know what? I'm not going to play in the ball game. I'm just going to get ready for the pro. Oh, how could you do that? How could you leave your team?
Yep.
What did Brian Kelly do? Without even looking back, he told his team on a text, I'm sorry this got out before I could tell you in person. I'll meet you tomorrow in the morning when I get back to Notre Dame. I wonder if any player showed up for that. They shouldn't even have showed up for it. So don't ever blame a kid if he doesn't want to risk his future by playing in some Fugazi bowl game when these guys are leaving potential national championship games because they got a better offer somewhere else. That's why college sports and college coaches stink from high heaven.
He, by the way, he was in that his meeting today with players for 11 minutes before he left.
Well, they probably don't even want to look at him. These are coaches, Peter, that tell these players, you've got to run through a wall for me. If you feel tired, you've got to go to the next level. I need dedication. What kind of dedication did Brian Kelly show his team? Now, I can't say that a guy can't better himself. I can't say that. It's not right. But there's got to be some kind of solution where a guy can recruit a player and say, I'm going to be here for 3 years, 4 years. I'm going to be here the whole time you're here. And then he just leaves without any kind of a negativity at all.
But it's one thing if your coach leaves while you're there, right? He recruits you, sits in the living room, has cheesecake with the family, and he promises your parents, I'm going to take care of this boy. I'm going to get him to the NFL. I'm going to take care of him. And then he's a junior, and then he leaves. All right, that's bad enough. But it's going to happen. You kind of have to know that's going to happen. But for you to work your tail off all year, still have a chance to win a national championship, and he's not even going to coach in the game.
Unbelievable!
So he's leaving like right midstream, Peter. You worked for this guy. All right, I get that every coach makes a promise, and then you never know what's going to happen year to year. But game to game,
this is all part of why I said what I said yesterday. And Don, you said you're proud of me for staying on this hill.
I love it.
I hate the sport. I hate it. I hate everything about it. And here's the thing. There are a lot of things in life that aren't as perfect and just as we would want them to be. But maybe that's all we got and we take it. But guess what? With football, it's not all we got. And the NFL is plenty flawed too. But at least the players are being compensated for being screwed over regularly. These kids, many of them, get nothing. Even at the best schools, most of these kids aren't going on to do anything after this. So at least what they were going to get is this experience with this person, and then they just walk out after being asked about it yesterday and saying no?
At least on the professional level. It's swarmy. You see non-guaranteed contracts with the players. You see players get cut in the middle of the season. But whether you like it or not, contracts are being honored. Because you're not violating a contract by cutting a player. You know that going in when you sign that contract, that it's a possibility that the non-guaranteed money may not be coming to you if you get cut. But what does a contract mean in college? It means nothing. You can walk out in the middle. It's one thing walking out in the middle of a contract, in the middle of a season. And on top of that, do you know why he's leaving Notre Dame? It's probably partially because of the money. I'm sure Notre Dame could have came up with $95 million. It's that he's got a better chance to win at LSU. He's walking. This was at one time the college program in football. You saw NFL coaches leave to go to Notre Dame. And now Notre Dame can't keep a coach on their way to the playoffs because the only place you can win is the SEC or Clemson? Like, you talk about you talk about lack of parity. What about college football? Really, what chance do you have to win unless you're coming out of the SEC? And Notre Dame has got no chance?
What does their word mean? Think about it. Because wasn't it 3 weeks ago on ENN, Peter reported that Brian Kelly said, you know, he was supposedly rumored for the USC job. I'm not going anywhere. I'm never leaving this place unless there's a fairy godmother with a load of cash of $250 million. Well, he didn't get that. He got $95 million, which is nothing to sniff at, but he lied. They can't help but lie. They're snake oil salesmen, and they lie to kids.
And they're going to try to paint Notre Dame as the bad guy because LSU is going to build them a new facility and Notre Dame's got an older stadium and he wants a new stadium. Well, you know, can you give them a chance to do it? And even if they couldn't do it, all right, well, fulfill the rest of your contract and then walk. Or if you want to do it the college football way, wait till the end of the season is over and walk. Not in the middle of the year, not when your team's getting ready for a playoff game.
If all of these bandits would get together, all of these Division I football schools and say, listen – if we sign a guy to a 5-year contract, okay, you can't break it. We won't allow him out of it. If every school agrees to that, we wouldn't have it. But then they wouldn't be just keep everybody on concurrent 5-year contracts. When the contracts are up, then let the wild, wild west begin. But instead, you can have a guy who has a 10-year contract means nothing because
right.
they all have out clauses.
That's it. And Notre Dame's not going to – even as much as they've got robbed here, losing Brian Kelly, they'll probably steal a coach to replace him.
I always remember – I think it was in the book The Blind Side. Nick Saban, who's now a god in Alabama, right? He was at LSU. And he was recruiting the kid, Michael Orr. And Michael Orr said, are you going to be there the 4 years that I have to play at LSU? And Nick Saban, you have my word that I will be there all 4 years. 2 days later, he signed a contract with the Miami Dolphins. They can't help but lie. It's part of their DNA. They're all salesmen. And then you get mad when a kid doesn't want to play in a bowl game and you get mad about the basketball transfer portal? Control yourself. I'd rather the kids get off on the coaches than the coaches get off on the kids.
Right, especially the way the system is. But I don't like it when the players do it either, because the one thing about sports, and especially football, is that it's not an individual sport. Every decision that you make affects the guy sitting next to you. I mean, these players worked under you, listened to everything you told them to do, so that they have a chance to win a national championship, and you bail on them right before the biggest game of the season?
I want you to listen to Brian Kelly from November 22nd. This is from November 22nd. Today's November 30th. 8 days ago, was asked if he'd ever leave Notre Dame.
No. I mean, look, I think Mike Tomlin had the best line, right? You know? Unless that fairy godmother comes by with that, you know, $250 million check, my wife would want to take a look at it first. I'd have to run it by her.
Listen, I don't want to call anybody a liar, but he lied.
Liar. Watch this.
Liar. There's no other thing to say. And now if you're a parent whose kid might go to LSU, remember that. This guy couldn't tell the truth.
At this point, Michael, there's
enough
evidence.
8 days ago.
That it's on the parents, too. Because this is nothing new. This happens all the time. So if Marco's good enough to play football and some big-time coach is sitting in my living room telling me he's never going to leave, that's on me if I believe him. Because, come on, there's more than enough evidence that that coach is lying right to you. So just make sure that it's a good school where he's going to get an education and maybe have a chance to make it to the pros as a football player. Do not count on that coach telling you the truth. And if he lies to you, that's on you.
We're going to hear from our good buddy Paul Feinbaum about this when we get back. So stay right here, 1-800-919-3776. It's Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
ESPN is giving away up to $2,000 every week of the football season with the Pigskin Payout. Your faith in Gangrene and Big Blue is your ticket to cash in. So get your bets ready. Be listening in the 5 p.m. hour today for your chance to win. It's coming right up. We're raising the stakes with DiPietro and Rothenberg and the Michael K. Show. Only on 98.7 ESPN, your home for football. All right, here is the great Paul Feinbaum. We'd love to be able to get him on the air, but his show is the same time as ours. So it's almost impossible to do. Paul Feinbaum, who knows college sports as well as anybody, said he was on with Green, he's stunned to see Kelly left Notre Dame.
The idea that Notre Dame, which growing up, Notre Dame was it. There was no bigger name than Notre Dame. Everybody looked at Notre Dame to see, you know, what the best and the brightest look like. And the idea that a coach who's been there 12 years, who's been very successful, who's on the verge of his best recruiting class, maybe get in the playoff, maybe not, probably not. Leaving Notre Dame to go to LSU, it is one of the most shocking things that I have ever encountered.
Now, here's Keyshawn Johnson. He said he cannot believe that Kelly would leave now.
I can't wrap my head around. You have a chance. You're sitting at number six. You're 10-1. Anything, Michigan could get pounded by Iowa. Okay. Georgia could just run muck on Alabama.
Or just Michigan could just
Houston,
lose.
In Houston, all of a sudden, in a triple overtime, beat Cincinnati. And Notre Dame is in the college football playoffs. And I took a job at LSU. That's why I'm like, There's your chance. You want to win a national championship so bad. There you go. But he probably got squeezed by LSU, meaning
now or never.
Now or never. Mm-hmm. That's kind of now or never, you know?
And to make it more of the wild, wild west, I read a report today that Lincoln Riley was about to go to LSU from Oklahoma. And then USC swoops in and gives him the world. We told you about the deal yesterday with a $6 million home and a private jet and all this money. It's unbelievable. It is the wild, wild west.
And all right, if you want to defend Kelly, like if I don't take this job, I'm going to lose it. And even all those scenarios, he wants to win a national championship. He probably realizes he's not going to do it at Notre Dame. They might be able to get into the playoffs. They're not winning a national championship. Somebody had sent me the odds, and Cincinnati's got better odds of winning than Notre Dame does. All right, they're like a 6% chance. Whatever.
And the times he's been there, his team got whacked.
So he wants to go and win. Maybe Notre Dame wasn't going to give him $100 million, $95 million, whatever it ended up being, and this was his chance to go. Okay, I don't like it. You're still a liar. You still are a fraud to all of the guys you recruited. You bail on your team. Bad guy. All right, but if you want to give that point, hey, it was blank or get off the pot, right? If he says no to LSU, I want to finish the season, he loses out on his job that he wants. How does the NCAA allow it to happen? What would be so hard to just say, we're going to have a rule that says you have to, all right, you can't honor your contract, you've got to finish the season.
Because they don't have any power over the coaches, Don. They're eunuchs. That's what they are. But when a woman's volleyball player at Minnesota actually used a garden hose that was attached to the gym to clean her Honda Civic, she got suspended. That's where they really swing it around.
Wow.
Well, the best tweet, and I want to be able to find it, because I want to give the guy credit, it was the woman, Jennifer. So let me get this straight. Lincoln Riley gets houses, private jet, flies, leaves his players right before the playoffs to go to USC, but Reggie Bush doesn't get his Heisman back. College football ethics and priorities are very screwed up. I mean, that's how hypocritical it is.
Because they have no power over the coaches.
But the thing, but you're the NCAA. I mean, you can't give up. You can't just talk to these schools and say, all right, listen, I understand that you're going to have to maybe violate some contracts here or there, but I'm sorry, if he wants to leave to go to LSU, you can't leave in the middle of a season. Now, maybe the players wouldn't want him to coach, or you can't talk to a coach until the season is over. How about that?
How about you can't
give these ultimatums just before the playoffs start. You want to talk to a guy under contract? At least wait till the offseason.
How about having clearly defined contracts? You have a 5-year deal. You must stay there for the 5 years. And now people will go, yeah, but if they get, but the school could fire him. Yes, they could. They have to pay him. But at least the kid will know he's there for 5 years unless the school fires him. And no school wants to eat that kind of money. Now, speaking of firing, Don, I did some investigating yesterday. You have been on this. If the Giants don't have a representative end of the season, that Joe Judge could actually go.
4-3.
I agree.
4-3. Someone who's in the know, that's about as much as I will lift the curtain. Someone who's really in the know said that Joe Judge could go to John Mara's car today, smash the windows with a ball peen hammer, and then relieve himself on the leather seats, and he still would not be fired.
Well, I disagree with that.
Yeah, that's a little bit Captain Literal Man.
I think no matter
hyperbole,
what,
I should say.
That would lose the job. But why were they so confident in this?
Because it's not happening. First of all, they're paying Pat Shurmur, still paying him, and still will be paying him. They would still be paying Joe Judge, who has a 5-year contract, and they'd have to pay another coach, and they actually like Joe Judge.
All right. That's fine. I mean,
I'm just telling you,
Jordan
Ronan
said a similar thing last week, that he is not going to get fired. Lose all the games, not going to get fired. I'm still entitled to my opinion, and I believe
you think he should be fired, but I'm saying he's not going to be.
Well, I don't doubt that. Michael, I believed you from the get-go. I'd be shocked if he's not the coach of the Giants next year. And it looks like my nightmare is going to happen because all reports are that Gettleman's going to step down at the end of the year. So they're going to be looking for another general manager, and that new general manager is going to be forced to keep Joe Judge. But I'm still allowed to have my opinion, and I believe if he can't go at least 4-3 in these last 7 games, he's already got to win. So all he's got to do is go 3-3 in these last 6 games. I don't think he deserves to come back, but the Giants are going to do what they want to do. And it's ridiculous that you're going to keep a coach on the only reason is because, well, we're still paying Shurmur, and I don't want to pay a third coach.
Right. That's
moronic.
Our last choice was so bad.
Right.
That we need to pay our next bad choice to justify the fact that we had another a previous bad choice.
Which to me, Peter, is another bad choice.
Again, right? I will tell you.
And I can understand it if the coaches counted towards the cap. They don't. All right, I hate having to pay three coaches at the same time. Do a better job picking coaches.
He can actually relieve himself in the car and not be fired. That's how much they love
him. And this would not be said, of course, for Gettleman, right?
No. I think if he walked past the car, he might be fired.
So, real quick. So, again, and to back up Don's point, why me and Don are partially simpatico here. So, Gettleman, they don't go on some miracle run here. They win 5-6 games. Season ends. Gettleman's fired. That means they're tying the hands of the GM they hire immediately.
Or they just hire Kevin Abrams, who is the money guy.
And now,
why would that be a good thing?
I don't. Well, continuity. Anyway, we're
up against continuity. Continuity of what?
Because I'm busting. Is it Steve? I'll move on. You're the boss.
Well, you can bust on the other side, okay?
You can sniff my socks. Well, that's what I was looking to do. I just didn't know if it was bustable.
Pete Sampson covers ND. He said multiple sources indicated that Brian Kelly's address to the team today lasted less than 2 minutes, and he turned around and walked out. He did not take questions from the players. What a class.
Bye, buddy. Have a great life.
One of the players should have used him as a tackling dummy. Imagine what this guy asked these players to do, and then he doesn't even give them the dignity of, why are you leaving us, coach? He can't answer it. Can't even look in their face. Giving Tuesday today, please go to v.org/donate to donate to the V Foundation. Do that. The Dick Vitale Pediatric Cancer Fund. The V Foundation has awarded nearly $60 million in pediatric cancer research grants. Dick Vitale continues to be a champion for the V Foundation pediatric cancer research efforts. He raised more than $6.5 million in 2021.
Hey. And we know it's hard, but any little bit counts. You know, if you get 1,000 people to donate a dollar, look, there's $1,000. So I know it's tough times, but you give a little, it goes a long way.
V.org/donate right now. Don's busting. He'll bust on the other side. Kay LeGreco Rosenberg and you right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
A rare start of the 5 o'clock hour with hockey news. Jack Hughes has signed an extension, Don.
A little 8x8. 8 years, $8 million per. So why wouldn't you lock up the top pick in the draft from a couple of years ago? And you lock him up. He's coming off a shoulder injury in which he's going to play tonight. He'll be back in the lineup for them. So just what the Rangers did with Fox, you see what you want and you lock it down.
Shocking that, you know, we have not received the jerseys, the jerseys yet.
Oh, no.
We would put them on.
It's, well, you know, it just takes time, Michael.
Well, really? It's Pony Express or what?
Well, but first of all,
perfect day to put it on.
They're nice enough, and in case you haven't missed it, Michael schnurred way to a...
I didn't schnurred. I said I love the jersey, the New Jersey jersey.
You basically said you wanted it.
I do want it.
And now the Devils are going to come through, Peter.
They're sending
it to them?
And
Don, too. Yeah. I don't know why you were left out.
Right.
And
I
said, you know, let's... They asked for the size or whatever, so I said, get a little one for Marco. He'd love that. He's getting into hockey, so. But we haven't got them yet. But they're nice enough to do it. They didn't have to do it, and now Michael's complaining about the timely manner in which they're sent.
I'm not complaining. I'm just saying if I had it, the Jack Hughes signing, boom, I put it on right now to celebrate.
Well, how are you complaining? You're getting one. I was just left off like I don't even exist on the show.
Yeah, I don't know how that happened. Maybe Andrew has more information, but...
I mean,
you're the one that would actually probably wear it before Michael and I would.
I'll wear it on the air the day I get it.
And I was going to say I wouldn't wear it, but Jack Hughes is Jewish, probably would wear it.
Right.
See?
All right. By the way, it was 3 years when we had him in studio, and he looked like, you know, he was 12.
He looks 15.
Now he looks 13.
All right, so, Don, you said you were just ready to explode over the two-minute meeting that Brian Kelly had with his Notre Dame team and didn't take questions.
Interesting word choice.
That wasn't why.
You can bust on the other side. What are you looking to bust about?
About the Giants.
Oh, I thought it was the Jack Hughes stuff.
No.
I thought it was the Brian Kelly stuff.
No, the last thing we were talking about is how they're in love with Joe Judge, and apparently he can violate a car owned by John Mara and not lose his job.
Right.
Because they love him. So let's put aside the whole ridiculously stupid reason of, well, I don't want to have to pay another coach, all right? Because that's an ignorant reason. When it's not a salary cap hit and you're flush with cash, as Michael likes to say. So, but you love him. All right, let's address you loving him. And I brought this up on Friday. You had 7 games. I wasn't ready to fire Joe Judge immediately. I'm going under the assumption they're going to stink the rest of the year, and it's a safe assumption because that's what's happened with this team for the last 5 years. So no matter what happened
last year, they did not stink at the end of last year. They made a run at it.
No, they made a Fugazi run,
but they played better in the second half than they did the first half.
Oh boy, they were 6-10. And remember, Peter, let's refresh Michael's memory.
They
beat Seattle. They were 1-7, but then they beat Seattle, and it was look out, here they come. No, they didn't.
Well, they were 5-3 in the second half, so you can make fun all you want. They finished better.
And what did they follow it up with after spending a mint to improve the offense?
They started off poorly again.
All right? Very very Adam Gase-like, if you ask me. Had the big second half, 6-2, and then what happened the next year? They win 2 games, and then he's out the door.
And I was going to say, Don, and the idea that they finished strong last year, if that doesn't lead to anything good this year, it's basically irrelevant.
That doesn't mean
it didn't happen.
All the second half is supposed to be an indicator of what's to come. All right, but whatever. I mean, he's got you know, 6 games now left to prove John Mara right. And if they end up going out and going on a run, and listen, a run could get him into the playoffs. Because with the extra wild card, I think they're only a game back of Minnesota, who's got the last wild card. I mean, who knows? If they go 6-1 in the final 7 games, they already got the win here. So let's say they go 5-1, Peter. Maybe they stumble into the playoffs. Then I'm all for bringing Joe Judge back. I'm open to whatever based on these last few games. And it's a pretty big sample now, 6 games remaining.
So if he does poorly, you want to fire him?
Well, yes. And I don't understand why. Well, they're in love with him. Well, what would you be in love with, Michael, if they lose the next 6 games? And they finished 3-14. What exactly are you in love with?
He does have a lot of excuses, though. He's had a lot of offensive injuries.
Here we go.
I mean, he hasn't had Saquon Barkley.
Shepard's
been out. Galladay was out for a while. The offensive line stinks. That's not his fault. So he's had some injuries.
Oh, that's what it is. Again, I want to see how this looks. But I'm sorry. If you win 9 games in 2 years and you follow up a 6-10 season going 3-14 and you're going to tell me about, you know, Shepard being out and Galladay being banged up and Barkley being banged up, stop it. All right? Got to coach through some things. You know, the Pittsburgh has had an awful season with so many different things going on, but Tomlin still keeps that team afloat somehow. Why? Because he's a really good coach. Most people can't name like five players on the Patriots, and yet everybody's talking about him going to the Super Bowl. Why? Because Bill Belichick's a heck of a coach.
Well, you're comparing Joe Judge to two of the greatest coaches who ever lived.
What I'm comparing him to is that it's a coach's league. And I'm sorry, if you win three games, you're gone. I don't want to hear about injuries. And let's see how it goes out the rest of the way, too, because they're getting healthier, supposedly, right? So a lot of the injuries you were talking about were excuses earlier. Again, I don't know if they're going to go 0-6 the rest of the way. All I'm saying is I don't understand why any owner in any sport in the middle of a coach's second year would say there is absolutely no scenario in which I would fire this coach. That's just dumb. Why would you ever do that? You should be open to whatever happens. And if the worst happens, I got to bring him back. Why? What am I in love with? So if they end up going, like I said, 4-3, 3-4, it looks better in the second half than it did in the first, okay, then maybe you can convince me. But this idea that he is just so good and so untouchable and you're so in love with him that nothing that happens the final six games of the season is going to sway you, that's not good. That's not good business.
Well, nobody said it publicly. It's just from what I've heard and what I assume to be the case.
Well, but,
the Giants haven't said he's the coach no matter what.
No, they haven't. But Jordan Ronan reported it. Whoever's talking to you is talking about it. So I would think that that's probably the consensus, that that's the feeling that John Mara has. And if it is, and I don't know if it is or isn't, but if it is, it would be ridiculous.
Well, especially, here's my question, Michael. You're playing the side of defending keeping Joe Judge. Are you saying if someone great was available, like assuming the rest of the season is not good and we see nothing, and there was someone who was really great who was available, would you pass on that person for Joe Judge?
Well, I mean, talk about great. So if Bill Belichick's available, Joe Judge would be fired right now. I agree with that. But who's great that's going to be available? Carroll? You'd fire Joe Judge for 69-year-old Pete Carroll?
You're acting like 69's like that's a death sentence.
I don't know. What's Pittsburgh going to do with Tomlin? There's always rumors about him getting let go. I think they'd be nuts to let him go. But again, I don't know why. It doesn't sound like, oh, well, who else is available? It's
they love him. Yeah.
And I just want to know what you love. Because you have to listen, they know a lot more football than I do.
Do they?
Well, I'm just going to go under that assumption. Maybe I'm wrong, but whatever.
That's nice of you.
A safe bet. All right. John Mara has been around football his entire life. All right. It's the family business. You're basing it off your interview. You can't tell me that you've seen anything in this year and a half that you tell me that he's untouchable. At least give me that. Have you seen, we had this argument about Sam Darnold. What have you seen from Joe Judge in a year and a half where you say, there's no way you could fire this guy? He's an incredible coach.
To me, it's like the old Supreme Court ruling on pornography, okay? I can't explain it, but I know when I see it. I think that Joe Judge is a coach. I think he's a coach. I didn't think Adam Gase was a coach. I think in the early going, I think Saleh's a coach. I think they're a coach. I think they have a way about them. I don't know what they're doing behind the scenes. I have no idea. So I can't articulate it. I just think he's a coach. I think he's going to be a successful coach.
But
is he going to be with the Giants? I don't know.
And again, let's see. We got six games. That's a big sample. But so far, Michael, I'm seeing a lot of losing on mistakes. I'm seeing a lot of, well, that's the way they've been losing the last couple of years. Another, offside that cost them a win, a pass interference that cost them a win. I thought penalties were supposed to be about coaching. I don't see adjustments in the second half. I see an offensive coordinator get fired and no movement. I understand Steve Young's right. You can't judge it on 1 week, but nothing. They really should have lost that game against Philadelphia. A plus four in a turnover ratio when it comes down to the final possession? Michael, there is a way to tell. It's called wins and losses. You are judged on that,
I get it.
And 6-10 last year, and yeah, there were some built-in excuses. Jones got hurt, shouldn't have played in the Arizona game, but he was the one that cleared him to play in the Arizona game, and he looked awful.
He's not clearing players on injuries. Giants medical staff is.
All right, but should he have played? You saw it.
No, he looked terrible.
He looked awful.
It's a strike against the whole organization.
No, it is. But And now here's the other thing. Forget about loving Joe Judge. Love. Licking a spoon, all right? They're getting rid of the general manager. The reports are Gettleman's gone. So a new general manager is going to come in and have to keep this guy?
We have the same argument all the time. I don't know. I'm just assuming that they will have to keep the guy.
Yeah, and I just pigeonholing yourself. Unless they've handpicked the guy. And like you said,
maybe Joe
Judge
is really respected around football.
Maybe, listen, Abrams is a cap guy, and there's been plenty of cap guys in the sport. You're probably going to have to get him a little help from a football standpoint. He did not get the job when Gettleman got it. He's been there for a long time. But isn't that the same problem the Giants have always had, promoting from within, finding a giant guy, giant way? So it sounds like I hate Joe Judge. I don't. And I see some of the things that you're saying, Michael. I don't think he's clueless. I don't see Adam Gase. I don't see Ray Hanley. All right? I don't see a guy that doesn't belong. But what I'm saying is I also don't see anything why I have to twist myself into a pretzel to keep him, especially if my general manager is going to walk, whether he's going to resign, retire, or get fired. I just don't see enough that I've got to do that.
Well, listen up, Jet fans. Here's your chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Jets take on the Eagles this Sunday at MetLife Stadium. Be the first caller right now, right this second, right now.
Do it.
At 888-987-ESPN. It's brought to you by the New York Jets. Get your tickets to see the Jets host the Eagles at MetLife Stadium on Sunday, December 5th at 1 p.m. presented by SAP. Lock in your seats at myjets.com/tickets. Story in the Post right now, a confidant of Kemba Walker said that he is absolutely stunned at the move.
Well,
taking him out of the rotation, stunned.
I'm sure it's an awful feeling.
Yeah.
But when you hear that statistically, this team drops to the worst defense in basketball when he's on the floor, and then offensively, what does he give him, guys? 11 points a game. It's tough to argue for.
Kemba's a really good guy. Is he shocked that the move was made, or is he shocked at the way he's playing? Because he can't be shocked that the move was made.
I think
Peter gave
the
numbers.
The move was made. A lot of people think, you know, somebody like that gets a longer leash. So maybe Thibodeau thinks 20 games is a long leash.
You're 11-9. It's going to start slipping away soon. Schedule doesn't get any easier. You winning tonight? Are they winning tonight, Michael?
They got a chance because the Nets haven't been playing great, but I would say they're not winning tonight.
Then you're 10-11 through 21 games in the toughest conference in the sport. Toughest conference we've seen in a long time. I mean, I give Thibodeau credit. I don't care that you're from New York. I don't care that it's a great story. I got to win games.
I'll tell you what, for Thibodeau, put it a nice way, a very sacky move. A lot of sack. That's a hard
like
move
Cubes.
To make. That's a hard move to make.
It's hard, but I have all the respect in the world for him because that tells me all he cares about is putting the best team on the court. And if that hurts some feelings, if that breaks some eggs, that's just the way it goes.
Here are some of the numbers that Peter was referring to. The Knicks allow 99 points per 100 possessions when Walker is on the bench. That's the best defensive efficiency in the NBA if it belonged to a team. But they allow 116.3 points per game when he's in the game, which would be the worst defensive efficiency. The offense is 27th when he's playing compared to 9th when he's not.
Yes.
I mean, the numbers are stark, and Thibodeau is a guy that looks at the numbers. Here's an incredible one, too. When Walker is in the lineup, switching is not part of the team's identity. The Knicks have, as this is from The Athletic, the Knicks have switched on fewer screens this season than any team in the NBA, according to information supplied by Second Spectrum and given to The Athletic. They do it only 6.7% of the time that they approach a pick. Against the Hawks, that ratio went up more than three times, switching on 21 of Atlanta's 100 screens Saturday, because Kemba didn't play. Right.
And you brought it up with Allen. This does not make management look good.
No, it's a bad look.
But give them credit. It's like, all right, listen, we could continue to play him, hope it gets better to justify the move. But hey, it's getting late early. We got to pull the plug. It doesn't help us to continue in the play. So as bad as the move is, Michael, I like the fact that they didn't get caught up in, you know, trying to save the face. Just do what's right for the team.
I'll tell you what, those are stark numbers, though. You can't ignore them, and obviously the Knicks chose not to ignore them. The fact that he's 6 feet and Burks is 6'6", and the fact that they don't switch when he's on the floor. If you're going to play good defense, you must switch, but he's too small to switch. So if there's a pick set and the guy that he has to pick up is 6'9", he can't do it. Burks with long arms and 6'6 can do it. So they switch off picks three times more when Kemba Walker wasn't on the floor. I wanted this guy to succeed because, as Don and Peter said, we all liked him. He was on the show. He seems like a great guy. It's a wonderful story, but it's a story that's ending with a thud.
I should have asked Alan this. Does he retire? Like, what if they can't trade him? He's going to be 32 in May. Does he just walk away?
I don't think so. He doesn't leave the money on the table. No. No.
But he's not even dressing, right?
No, he's dressing.
He dress?
He's just not going
to be
in the game.
On the court.
Yeah.
Which, it's weird. Why does that have to be announced? Like, do you need to say that? Is it nice?
Because you're going to find out 10 minutes into the game.
No, you're going to. It's going to take 48 minutes.
Right.
I mean, when he says he's not starting, but Thibodeau said he wants to shorten his rotation to 9 rather than 10.
No, but when you see that second rotation come out and he's not on it, you're going to be able to put 2 and 2 together. You don't need the entire game to figure that out. If you see him at the end of the bench.
I know, but isn't that better to rather have people figure it out than announce it? The game plays out that way and he didn't end up playing. But, like,
you make a good point, Peter, too. They'll figure it out, but if you're trying to trade him, you know.
Yeah, he's unplayable. He's literally, we would rather have him just sitting in the crowd than on the game. I don't know if that plays well.
That's got to be tough for him. Really, really does.
No, it's heartbreaking.
He's essentially got Kevin Knox's role now. And the Knicks had more invested in Kevin Knox than they have in Kemba. You know, he's a former number one pick. Kemba, I think, was $18 million for 2 years.
And here's another reason, Don, why I don't like it being said. I know it's unlikely. What if, God forbid, an injury happens tonight during the game and you're forced to use him because of the rotation?
Right. You're right.
And then you're like, all right, well, now we need you. And it's like, okay, well, is he motivated to really help this team?
Well, I guess he figures the press is smart enough to figure it out, so I might as well just tell him.
And you know what? It was the perfect day to drop the news, though, with the Mets signing Scherzer. It was the perfect day.
Yeah, and so let's say he doesn't announce it, Peter. Then it becomes a whole thing at the end of the game.
Right. Why didn't you play him? Why didn't you play him? Why didn't you play him? Is he going to play anymore? So he got ahead of it. But I understand what Peter's saying, too.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if somebody, God forbid, breaks their leg and all of a sudden he's in the game, you never even had to reveal it.
Or, you know, COVID protocol. Like, it wouldn't be that crazy to
think
all of a sudden you've got to play him.
Right.
You know, because somebody tested positive. Yeah, I guess you could have gotten away with it, but he was just brutally honest about it. Or maybe, you know what, he doesn't care. He doesn't care about the story or embarrassing Kemba. He's all about trying to make his team better.
And Ian O'Connor put it very well in the post today. He's 63 years old. This is his last coaching job. He wants to win a title, so he's not going to play games.
And also, as far as the feelings for Kemba, how do we know that 5 games ago he didn't tell Kemba, listen, if this doesn't improve, this is what's going to happen to you.
Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance, Peter, isn't how much you save. It's the kind of service you get.
Sure.
Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. We'll take some phone calls, more baseball as well. It's been an unbelievable show. Each show continually gets exponentially better from day to day. It is crazy. It's almost like we're entering a matrix that we can't control. How can you keep getting better every day?
Such a great point by you.
How many shows can do that? I mean, it's been a slow slog for 20 years now, but every day better and better and better. Now it's to the point where your ears are popping. It's so good. With such a high level, your ears pop. You know what I'm saying? From altitude.
That's how high it is.
Yeah.
Wow, bro.
Thanks, bro. All right, I'm going to put on my sunglasses to channel Peter from last night. We'll go to a break. We'll take more phone calls. Kayla Greco-Rosenberg and you right here on Yes and on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Hey, this portion of the Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by 2 by London, the engagement shop by London Jewelers. Love these people. Picker designed the perfect engagement ring to fit every budget. Visit 2 by London at the Americana Manhasset, East Hampton, Westfield World Trade Center. You got to love Mike Tomlin. Did you see this quote, Peter?
What?
So the wide receiver of the Steelers, Chase Claypool, said that playing music at practice might have a positive effect. He said, I think some music would help. We had music in the warm-ups, and that stuff is fun. People are dancing, having fun. So I think maybe music would make practice a little more fun, a little more up-tempo. That's my suggestion, but Coach T has been doing this a lot longer than I have. Tomlin said, Claypool plays wideout. I'll let him do that. I'll formulate the practice approach, and I think the division of labor is probably appropriate.
I like Tomlin a lot.
He's just no nonsense. He's not going to put up with anything.
No, but he's appropriately fun at times, yeah. But when things aren't good, he's very serious.
And you know what I get when he said he wasn't going to USC, I believed him. I don't believe any college coach. Now, also, Urban Meyer said he has no interest in the Notre Dame job. Or sources close to him know that, and he has said in the past that's his dream job. I don't believe Urban Meyer. Now, he might end up staying at Jacksonville, but
why?
There's certain people that look into the camera you believe and some people that you don't.
What about Urban Meyer's recent past makes you think he's not living a totally straightforward and honest life?
Well, Annie Agar, who does these great videos on the NFL, I'm sure you've seen them, Don, on Twitter. I don't know if you have Peter, but she's great. She's very funny, and she really knows the sport. And she tweeted out, she said, the Notre Dame opening is the second best thing that's fallen to Urban Meyer's lap this year.
Wow. Beautifully done.
Well played, right?
Perfect line.
By
that's
Annie Agar. Yeah. All right, let's go to the phones. Wilson in Roxbury is a defender of Don's take. What's up, Wilson?
Hey, Michael. Hey, listen, Michael, I have 3 questions directly to you.
Okay.
If I may.
Yep.
First thing, Joe Judge is a bum. He gets outcoached all the time. He doesn't belong in the NFL, and the team wins despite of him. Second thing, the biggest culprit of all this is John Mara, because it's been a disgrace, because he hired 3 bumps in a row. You cannot go from Ben McAdoo to Pat Shurmur to this guy. I mean, that's almost unheard of. You got to be really bad at picking up coaches to do that. And the last thing I want to ask you, Michael, is this. What has Georgia done to merit you giving him such a long leash, man? Because
a long leash? It's not even. Wait a minute. It's not even 2 years. You're acting like I'm saying after 6 years to keep him. That's not a long leash, Wilson, in football.
But, Michael, listen.
You're giving him, you know what the leash you're giving him? You're giving him a leash of 23 games. It's asinine to do that. You already know he's a bum. You already know he's a bum. Did you think he was a bum when they were 5-3 in the last half of the year last year?
Listen,
No, answer the question. Did you think he was a bum when they finished 5-3? Why?
Because, listen, I thought he didn't belong when they played Cleveland last year in the Meadowlands. He goes from, he just says stuff. You know what he is? He is Matt Patricia that just talks better. That's all he is.
Hey,
that's how he got his way with a lot of stuff.
That's the best thing he said during this whole thing.
That wasn't bad.
That was a good mic drop by him. Because the Matt Patricia, remember, he snubbed the Giants. Oh, my God, they didn't get Patricia. Fell off of the Bill Belichick tree also. And then what happened? Done in Detroit. I mean, listen, I know it's a short leash, Michael, but – and again, I don't want Wilson or anybody else to put words in my mouth. I never said he's a bum. I'm just saying I would be very open to making a change if this thing goes sideways.
But
yeah, 5-3 in the second half of the season, Michael, but they lost 3 of the last 4.
But
remember Mike Tannenbaum, if they beat Seattle, like, oh, look out, the Giants are coming, and nothing.
But wouldn't you agree that, I mean, the paradigm has shifted to an extent that I never could imagine? We're giving him a long leash? What's the Giant record right now?
It's 4-7.
4-7. 11 games into a second season, and that's a long leash? Football, you can't keep changing coaches.
No, nobody is saying to fire him now. But I don't think there's anything wrong with looking at these final six games and saying, I want to see a certain number. But, I'm asking them to be 500 in the last six games of the season.
But firing after 2 years is ridiculous, too. But you've got to have some commitment.
If you realize that it's a mistake. See, I don't understand. Why does there have to be a number attached to how long you give somebody?
Because you really can't have a guy turn around a program in 2 years if they're going to do it the right way.
But think of the things he was handed, okay? All right, you saw enough last year. They go 6-10. They finished 5-3 in the second half of the year. All right, even though they went 3-4, but there were a lot of 1-3 in the final four games. But still, they were better in the second half of the year. You go out and you spend a ton of money in free agency to improve the offense. All right, in that season, you're just as bad as you were in the first half of this year as you were last year. So almost no improvement. You fire the offensive coordinator. And if they go sideways in these last six games after you let him fire his offensive coordinator and the offense doesn't get any better, Michael, and if they end up having a losing record when you're playing Miami and you're playing Chicago down the stretch of the season, you're telling me that that's okay, but just because of some mystical it's only 2 years? Well, if you don't see anything in those 2 years, why do I give you a third?
You saw something before you hired him, and you've already given – you have no conviction in what you see? You're going to give the guy 2 years and out? I said it at the time, so I'm not being contradictory. What they did to John Idzik, the Jets, is a joke.
All right.
Now, Adam Gase couldn't get out of his own way. That team was so pathetic last year. The Giants aren't pathetic, and there have been injuries. All these offensive additions. Have they had Kadarius Toney? Have they had Shepard? Have they had Barkley in the lineup at the same time? No. And it's not his fault the offensive line that Dave Gettleman put together is terrible.
Well, but it was enough to let Jason Garrett go.
Hey, if you want me to say something that Joe Judge did wrong, the way he handled Garrett was wrong. He should have gotten rid of him after 1 year. Right. He had a reputation as a vanilla offensive guy, and if not, you should have gotten rid of him before the bye week. Instead, you had a short week to have Freddie Kitchens put in his system, and they looked terrible last week.
But this is interesting, right? Like, Jason Garrett gets fired. He was there just as long as Judge has been there, went through all of the injuries that you just mentioned were all on the offensive side of the ball, and it didn't stop him from getting fired. So why can't Judge be graded the same way that Jason Garrett
was? Because Jason Garrett was always a vanilla offensive guy, even with Dallas. That's what lost him the job there. I don't know why they hired him other than the fact that Mara liked him.
Well, it's the same thing here with Judge, but Mara also liked McAdoo, gone after 2 years.
Did I say that when they fired Joe Judge, or when they fired Garrett,
McAdoo,
that it was wrong?
Yeah. Yeah.
How's he supposed to run an offense with no offensive line? It's wrong. It was wrong. But I think Joe Judge is looking for some branch to hang on to as the water cascades beneath him.
But apparently it's not. Because I'm sure he's hearing the same rumblings that we're hearing.
He can't keep having the same argument every single minute. I get it.
Sorry.
You think he should stay. You think he should go. But we're just going around and around and around. We're not solving anything.
It's really not that he should go, though. It's just that I'm with Don that I don't think there's a world in which he needs to stay because either A, he's shown enough to be worthy of staying, or B, because since you've made so many mistakes, now we got to stick with something. Not unless he's really the right guy. And to Don's point, they must have seen something we're not seeing. Because he is Matt Patricia, who speaks better so far.
If you believe, and also a better shape, if you believe that Mara and Tisch are dunderheads, what's going to change with the next guy you hired? They've hired three bad guys in a row then, according to you. They're going to hire this guy too.
So let me just follow your logic here. We suck. We don't know what we're doing.
Suck some more.
Well, no. This is your logic. So you're saying, but since the guy we hired sucks, and since the guy before him sucks, and we're going to be the ones hiring the next person, we should just leave this sucky guy here.
But I don't
and
think
never
he,
roll the
I don't
dice
think
again.
I don't think he's a sucky coach. They have to have some conviction in something that they do. They thought the guy was great. Bill Belichick highly recommended him. And Bill Belichick doesn't highly recommend people. And he also told Mara he's better than the other two guys you hired.
So what do you do? So then, okay, how long do you keep this conviction?
You got to give a guy at least 3 years. You got to. It's only fair. You're turning around a program. You got to institute what you believe in and get your players. You can't keep banging coaches after two seasons. It's not a good way to do business. So you're starting all over again. So you're going to bring in a new coach and a new GM, and that means you bring in a new quarterback. Good luck. Another five-year plan.
Okay, but the other – I'm not saying that's good, but what you're suggesting is staggering it so it's an eight-year plan. GM this year, coach the following year, and then a quarterback. I hope it works out. I hope it's Daniel Jones.
Go out,
but you're banking a lot.
You can go out and get a GM that actually believes that Joe Judge is good. That shouldn't be a requirement for the job. But if you interview enough people, there's enough people in football that think Joe Judge is a competent coach. That this mess isn't all him.
And that very well may be true. I just don't think it's necessarily true. And I don't see how anyone with what they've seen could think it's necessarily true. He has an uphill battle to prove that he is the guy they think he is.
We'll be back in just a moment right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.